Giant
Monster Bullshit
is the most listened to conservative podcast in the country.
What?
Hello?
Who is this?
Is anybody there?
Hello?
Can you repeat my name back to me?
Who are you?
How did you die?
Did you die here?
How many spirits are here with us?
Oh, I think I heard something.
Well, anyway, welcome back to Giant Monster Bullshit, episode 27.
It's great to be back.
We're back again.
It's so great to see y'all again. It's been so long.
It's been so long!
No cussing episode is gone. Cussing is back and better than ever.
Fuck you. Well, anyways, we watched Godzilla vs. Gigan.
Yeah. Well, anyways, it was pretty good.
Do you remember that funny video I made where I made fun of the lady for saying Gigan?
Gigan and Rodan.
Yeah, Gigan, Rodan, Miss Pidgey, Kremit.
Yeah, Gigan. You sure took her down a peg.
Honestly, if you're saying Gigan, you deserve to be down not only a peg, but down a flight of stairs.
Oh my god.
By somebody else's hand.
I can understand that.
I mean, how fucking stupid, Gigan.
No, yeah, she's like acting like she likes these giant monster movies. She doesn't like these giant monster movies. I like them. Yeah, we watched Godzilla vs. Gigan.
Gigan. There's no force on this planet that can get me to stop calling him Gigan. That's how the guy in my Godzilla video game, you know, he announced it, Gigan.
Gigan.
Yep.
That's what he said, and that's how it's in my brain for the rest of my life until I get...
Jesus Christ might be able to
Alzheimer's.
Convince me, but I know he wouldn't do that.
Well, Jesus isn't going to fucking lie to you. Jesus is going to tell you it's Gigan. Jesus made Gigan. He's not going to lie
everything.
To you about, you know, calling it Gigan. How many times have you seen this movie?
I said this in the last episode about Hedorah, but this is another one that was in the pile of Godzilla movies at my Blockbuster. A small little stack. There was like five of them. There's like some of the Millennium ones, and then Hedorah, and then this. I watched this one a lot because I thought Gigan was really cool. I was always trying to draw Gigan in school, and I could never do it. And it really frustrated me because I couldn't draw. And my dad could draw really well, so like I'd see him draw stuff, and I'd be like, "Why? How's it easy for him? Like, what am I not doing?" And I like try to draw, and I'd be like, "Fuck." Yeah. So I watched this one a lot. I have no idea how many times. While I lived in that area near that Blockbuster, I watched it a bunch, and then I haven't seen it. I didn't see it until, like, I started hanging out with you, and then I watched it again just now, if you can believe it.
I never had this movie until I bought it on Blu-ray, like, a couple years ago, but it was always at, I don't know if there were a lot of copies of this or what, but I felt like whenever I needed to get it from Blockbuster, I could.
Mm.
And it was my all-time favorite childhood Godzilla movie.
Really?
Hands down. I loved Son of Godzilla. I liked Tokyo SOS a lot. But this was, without a doubt, my favorite. This movie famously gave me autism, the autism that made me the man I am today.
That's incredible.
I
know. You're like Bill Gates or something.
With all this autism I have.
Yeah. You're like even better than Bill Gates in that. And that you're
I'm
even
like
more
E.T. or something.
Yeah. Just like E.T. Yeah. I can't say I liked this movie a whole lot as a kid, but it was, for whatever reason, it was the one I'd rent. It gave me a little bit of autism, but I think I caught the autism from other outings in the series.
I had Godzilla Save the Earth for PS2, and Gigan was like the first monster that I couldn't beat. It was really early on, and Gigan would kick my ass. I threw a fit because I was like, I can't beat him. I was like, you know, I was crying, sweating. I was angry and sad and frustrated. And my mom got tired of hearing me complain about it. So she came in and she took the PlayStation game box and she like smashed it over a chair.
Oh,
and
no.
I remember it like that game had like really cool box art. It had like this weird drawing of Godzilla on it, and he was like way bigger than he normally is. And I really liked looking at it. And she fucking smashed it. And I was like,
you like drooling at it? You freaked out. Did she even mean to break it, or was she just like pissed off?
She probably meant to. I don't know what. I think she just didn't want to hear me. I was freaking out and shit, and she just didn't want to hear it anymore. And she was like, "Shut the fuck up!" You know, she smashed it, and I was just like,
"It's so fucking."
No!
That's so stupid.
I was like 7.
No!
I flipped shit.
Oh my god.
And then
your mom broke a box for your favorite game.
Yeah, if there's anything to learn from that story, it's how autistic I was as a child. And I probably didn't get my ass beat enough or else I wouldn't have made that noise. This movie was released in 1972.
Righto.
Directed by Jun Fukuda. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, and frankly, it's more fun to imagine what was going on behind the scenes than to look it up, so that's what we'll do. But I like to imagine that Jun Fukuda and Ishiro Honda both hated Godzilla movies, and they were both kind of trying to get the last laugh. And so like they kept saying, like, I know this is probably not true at all, but they're both like, yeah, I'm done with Godzilla, fuck Godzilla. And then, you know, the other one would make one and the other one would be like, oh yeah, well, fuck you, I'm directing another Godzilla movie.
Yeah. I think I see what you mean. They were going for tit for tat for a while.
Yeah, and I mentioned in the Godzilla's Revenge review that Ishiro Honda was using stock footage from Jun Fukuda's movies.
Yeah.
And fucking here, Jun Fukuda is using stock footage from Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster and Destroy All Monsters, which were Ishiro Honda's movies.
Yeah, so let's talk about the use of stock footage. We've talked about it before in these other movies, but it's getting really old. Because they're getting more and more movies behind them, and more of them they're starting to reuse. And that is just so bizarre to me. I mean, I know, like, in that era of filmmaking, like, it was a little less of a big deal. But, like, it's, I don't know how, because, like, it's just so bad. Like, you're just showing me, like, you're compiling another movie into this one to fill out what you didn't shoot, what you didn't bother to shoot.
Right.
And that's like, to me, like, if I were a person going in the theater way back when, 1972, apparently, I would have been so pissed off. Like, I've already seen this. That's what I come here to see. And, like, that's what you, like, cheap out on? Like, what the hell?
I will openly admit that nostalgia is completely blinding me to any anger I would feel towards this movie about using the amount of stock footage that it does use.
Because you associate this footage with...
I saw this movie way before I ever saw Destroy All Monsters or Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster.
Mm.
And as far as I knew, I was just watching one movie. All right, they had me fooled.
Yeah, they got you. I was fooled as well. I had no idea. You know, I was aware that there's probably a movie where King Ghidorah and Godzilla fought or whatever, you know, but...
I will agree that this movie should not have used stock footage, and I think it is very unprofessional and irresponsible that they did it in the way that they did. It's a little different from Godzilla's Revenge, because that was almost like trying to craft a movie out of completely different footage.
Yeah, I think we mentioned, like, that one's weird. It's like they had stock footage and they, like, wanted to make a movie out of whatever they had left over.
This one, they're very clearly just trying to, like, pad out the footage that they did shoot, so it was really weird. It wasn't quite 50-50, but it was like
35-65.
There was too much. There was too much. Watching it now, after having seen everything, it is annoying, and it's like, it just makes you roll your eyes every time you see it, because it's just like, oh, here we go again. Here's another 45-second clip from a movie that came out 10 years prior.
Yeah, it's so weird that they do it, and it, I don't know. It's funny, though. It's fun to laugh at, like, oh, where have I seen this before?
Yeah, and it's also like, oh, well, that's weird. It's not daytime. You know, it's certainly not daytime, even though I can clearly see the sky.
Yeah, like, sometimes they, like, kind of half-ass, like, sort of darken the footage, you know? So now it's, like, reused and uglier.
Right.
You know, and it's like... So this is, like, one of the worst, I think, in terms of stock footage and just how it uses it. to like do like main set pieces.
Yeah,
copied and pasted.
Statistically, it is. I don't know if it ever gets this bad again. I think the next movie might use a little stock footage from this movie, but it's nothing like this. And Godzilla's Revenge are like the worst. But like I said, I like this movie a lot more than Godzilla's Revenge, so I just can't stay. I can't be angry at it.
Let's talk about one of the main things of this movie that I remember, which is Godzilla and Anguirus talking.
Yeah, it's weird. You call it a main thing, but it only happens.
Well, I mean, like, people talk twice. About it a lot, though.
Right, I mean. Yeah. Well, I'm
remember.
Not. I'm not trying to say you're wrong for it, but it is. It's interesting that for the majority of people, the main takeaway from this movie is that Godzilla talks, even though like so much more happens.
No, yeah.
That tends to stick with people a lot. I think that's due in no small part to how weird they did it. I don't know if they could come up with a weirder way to do this.
I mean, it would already be weird if they were just like, hey, Anguirus. Hey,
right.
It's me. And this is only on the English dub, by the way. And the Japanese, they supposedly in the original one, they don't do it in the new one anymore.
Speech
they
bubbles.
Just, they did speech bubbles. But in this one, we get, they sort of did like these really like weird, like they warped the tape of Godzilla and Anguirus doing their noises, their roars.
Well, they did that in both versions.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. But in the English version, in addition to doing that, they also had some people go,
something's going on.
Like somebody's like taking a shit or something.
Strained voices. It sounds like two old men doing voices.
It's weird and it's creepy. Like mean, like,
that's another thing. It is pretty scary.
Yeah, I remember as a kid watching this and being like, oh, cool, they're talking.
I had the exact same reaction.
Yeah.
I think you and I, the whatever our brains were doing.
Autism.
When they took that in. Yeah, whatever kind of autistic interpretation we were getting from that movie. The same thing.
Right, yeah, no, totally.
It was very, I was like, oh, cool, Godzilla's talking to his friend. And that's so weird that I ever thought that, because it's so, so weird in this movie.
Yeah, I should have been like, oh, ew, what, you know?
Yeah, but I should have been like, why is Godzilla talking out of nowhere?
Godzilla's not supposed to talk. But I was like, all right, you know, he's talking. Like, maybe in my head I was like, yeah, animals can, like, talk to each other to an extent.
I didn't like it when Manila talked, so I don't know why I liked it when Godzilla talked. It's arguably creepier. You could argue either way, but the voice that's coming out of Godzilla is very disturbing.
It's not right either. I mean, it like the way I sort of interpret this is like, or why they did this is like, okay, how would Godzilla talk? Okay, so we've got four dub actors in total. Let's try to get one of them to talk like Godzilla might talk if he was a person. But it's just such a bizarre. It's so weird. And they only do it twice.
We noticed it a couple times, but they were doing that weird tape manipulation thing a couple more times, almost like they were planning on having them talk again.
Yeah.
But they just don't. They just sit there and go like,
yeah.
They just sit there and look at each other, and they're like waving their arms around.
I got it as a kid. I was like, yep, they're talking. Got it.
It's inexplicable what they were. It's weird that it's almost like a theme throughout this movie, the use of tape, like electronic tape, as a means of playing audio, because they play this weird distorted tape to control King Ghidorah and Gigan.
Yeah, like somehow they do it with.
And it sounds a little similar at some points to the noise that Godzilla makes, but it's clearly just Godzilla and Anguirus' roars, like, stretched out and, like, sped up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird tape manipulation. But that only plays at certain parts, because there are several points where the roars are normal, and then there's also other points where they do that, and I guess the idea was that when they were playing the fucked up version, that was also supposed to be done in conjunction with the audio of people doing the voices. Mm-hmm. But at several points, that gets left out, and the only thing that's left in the movie is the weird, fucked up versions of the roars.
That's one of the notable things about this movie.
One of the things this movie is famous for doing.
Yeah. The story in this is almost spiritually, tonally, connected in some way. Maybe it's just the era in which it was made, but it feels very connected to Godzilla versus Ghidorah a little bit for me.
Yeah, the time at which it was made, it ties into what I said last time. I think people were really ready to move on to this style of both like clothing and like now all the cars look a little different and the architecture looks a little different. And they had been kind of reusing probably like 10 actors in some way or another in these previous movies. And I've noticed that I think they're all gone and replaced with like
they totally are.
Some younger actors. And I think because they're having younger actors during this time period, they're dressing them differently than the older actors would have dressed when they were younger. Because now it's been close to 20 years at this point since the original Godzilla came out. So it's weird that throughout this whole series, there's been a story continuity, a rough story continuity, and we're kind of watching the world change.
Ooh, I'm going to write a paper on this.
I'm going to write an essay on how Godzilla is a movie that
changes because there's a bunch of them throughout time and whatever. Yeah. I think I did write a paper about that.
I think it's just an easy paper topic.
No, yeah, partially because of how much
Godzilla was made in a time where people were afraid of one thing, and then 20 years later they were still making movies when people were afraid of different things.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of bullshit you can pull within that. Essays are fucking awful.
They're so dumb. Like, it's like shit, like, I can just say. Like, I don't know. I mean, like.
And that is cool. That is cool.
It's interesting, but it's like.
There's a monster that can be manipulated to represent different things.
But it's also like, yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
You know, like, of course, they were making these movies, like, every 2 or 3 years for the past half a century. You know, there's been tons of these things. I mean, not there's been spaces out in between, but they've been like steadily making them. Of course, it's going to change and represent different things and whatever. But yeah, it's sort of changing a little. It's just, yeah. So like there's like sort of the fat dude that's in this kind of looks a little, he's got like paisley stuff on, I think. He's got like a bandana.
Yeah, he's got like a wig. It looks like a wig, but it might be his hair.
You don't know.
Yeah, but that's very... very Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, no, yeah, totally.
All these characters were giving me Scooby-Doo vibes.
Strong Scooby-Doo vibes. Hair, clothes, definitely.
The main guy kind of has a Carl Sagan motif. But
is this a Carl Sagan reference?
One thing I realized watching this movie this time is that this movie in its sets and outfits is very similar to A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like this dude's like apartment.
Yeah,
is like straight up
totally
from
is,
A Clockwork Orange, and like some of the way that some of these people are dressed is like almost supposed to look like the future, like a weird, not so distant future. Wasn't A Clockwork Orange made in the 70s?
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So this Godzilla Park,
World Children's Land.
That's what it's called. I remember when I was a kid. I was like, okay, cool, like a Godzilla theme park. I'm down with that. I think at the point I saw this movie, I'd never been to like Disney World or anything. So that was kind of like super romanticized in a way. I was like, wow, that would be amazing. Like I've only seen like commercials for Universal and Disney World. I was like, that would be incredible. It's like actual magic happens there.
Right.
As they show, like the real Mickey Mouse is there. I always thought they like showed it. And they like, yeah, there's like a Godzilla tower. And I was like, that looks lame. Like what? There's a playground? I can go to the park.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is this? Like what? I can just climb up Godzilla. I can get real high.
Yeah.
Like I always thought that was super lame. I thought the tower was dumb. And I thought Godzilla looked bad. What do you think of it? I bet you thought it was cool.
It never really excited me from what I remember. I remember my feelings towards certain things that happen in these movies. And other times I only remember the things themselves. And I remember the tower being in this movie, but I didn't even remember. And I've seen it a few times since, but I had forgotten that the tower even gets destroyed or what it was for. I don't even think I remembered that it was supposed to be a theme park. I really just remember the Godzilla parts and the parts where like Gigan and King Ghidorah are destroying Tokyo.
Shows how much you like this movie.
I love this movie.
Yeah, I thought that was super lame.
I love the part where Godzilla sees it and smacks the shit out of himself.
Yeah, that's great.
He's like, huh?
But he really hits himself hard.
They put that sound effect that they always put, that's like punchy, they've been using for 20 years.
He's like, blinks, he's like, uh-uh?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a very weird, like almost human trait they tried to apply to him, of him seeing like himself and being like, what?
Yeah.
Like Godzilla probably doesn't know what he looks like, but yeah. Like, you know, I don't know. It's just like, it's just a weird idea, but I can kind of see how they thought of it. They're like, oh yeah, he like sees himself and then he's like, what?
Yeah.
You know.
I better hit myself to make sure I'm seeing right.
Because he has been getting smacked around a good bit. I wouldn't be surprised if after a certain point, after Godzilla gets his like face clawed up by Gigan, they're like, yeah. Film theory, the rest of the movie is Godzilla's dream as his brain, you know, suffocates.
Yeah, Godzilla gets his ass handed to him like never before in this movie.
It's ridiculous. It's like he isn't even trying. It's like he's drunk or something.
Yeah.
Like he's always falling over. He can't stand up.
Showing his age.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, pathetic. Did you know this was Nakajima's last movie as Godzilla?
Good. This was awful. But really, no, I didn't know that. I thought he went a little longer.
No, this is it.
Huh. Okay.
No, but for real, yeah, this was his last movie, and they got to play Godzilla for all the other ones.
Oh.
Yeah, Nakajima, bye-bye. This is when he died, famously.
Bye.
No, he died the other day.
He really, did he?
He died in, like, 2016, I think.
Oh, okay. I guess he wasn't that special because everybody else does it pretty well, so... You know, so I sort of trailed off, but the story in this is a little strange. They sort of take a strange angle at uniting humans with the Godzilla story, in that they get a comic book artist, and he's also a designer, I guess, and he's trying to get this comic book published that he's writing, but the comic book isn't like even finished. He hasn't even designed a monster for the part, and he's like, will you buy my comic book?
He might just be pitching.
Anyways, it sucks. He hasn't even finished it, you know, and I have no pity for him.
Okay.
But anyways, he's shopping around ideas, and then he goes to the guys who are building World Children's Land, and he ends up pitching them a couple monsters, the monster of homework and the monster of
Angry Mothers.
And that one's called, like, Mamagon or something.
Yeah, Mamagon.
Mamagon or whatever, and that's like weird. I don't know if like it's just lost in translation that he's joking when he like says that and then he actually has to do it or what. I don't know, but it's weird. And then the guy's like, yeah, make those monsters for our park. Like, we want those monsters.
It was giving me vibes of the older Showa movies where the characters were working for like newspapers and stuff.
Right, yeah.
And I don't know if this was their intention, but I liked that it was almost like a progression of that. Because you're getting, it's not narratively like the most simple way of getting your characters involved with the plot, but it was like a callback to that almost, because like you have like your main character is like an employee for like somebody they have to pitch things to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally see what you
mean.
The
newspaper or the comic book place looks like the newspaper places and it gives the same vibe, but like now it's not like journalism. It's like a guy in the arts,
right?
You know,
yeah.
An artist doing this, and I liked that. It was almost like, yeah, like I said, just a progression of that, and all the other characters, like, he didn't have, like, a girlfriend who was, like, just along for the ride or whatever, somebody who also worked there. She was, like, her own person, and she, like, was a black belt in karate. Like, they gave her, different shit that was going on in her life.
It was really cool. I really liked that. We commented on it. She, like, the comic book artist dude meets the two people who are, like, it's, like, the guy and then the girl with her brothers, like, trapped in the, you know, Godzilla Tower or whatever. Mm-hmm. With the World Children's Land people. Pretty much the main guy's girlfriend, like, disappears from the plot.
Yeah, for a while.
For, like,
a good bit.
Like, an entire act, basically. Just then we commented, like, the minute right before she showed back up, we were like, God, where's this fucking GF?
Yeah, where is she? She just disappeared.
And they get cornered by some of the G-men.
Yeah, the aliens. Suits.
Yeah, the aliens. But the aliens like corner these guys and they've got some ray guns and she like comes in. I guess it's the comic book artist's apartment.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, "Hey, I'm back." The way I want to create it in my head is she's like, "Hey, I'm back from karate practice."
Right.
And then they turn her with her to the guns and she goes, "Huh?" And then she kicks it like directly out of the guy's hand.
Yeah, she kicks all, she whips their ass.
Yeah, she beats their ass.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool.
She slaps them around and then she's like beating their ass before she can even take in what's going on.
Yeah, she just knows there's a threat.
Yeah, she's immediately disarming
them.
She's
what every boomer like kind of thinks they would be with a gun, like, I know what the threat is.
Right,
you know,
yeah,
like,
immediately.
Threat assessed.
So she, like, kicks these guys' ass, the two goons, and then she, like, grabs, you know, whatever, the director, whatever his title was, grabs him by the throat and is, like, choking him and holding him in the air before she even realizes who it is. And she's like, "Oh, it's you." And then she, like, drops him and then he, like, scurries out of the house.
Yeah.
But, like, that was so cool.
Yeah, I didn't remember it, so I was it, like, really surprised me. I was like, because they, like, set it up.
Yeah, I had to remind you that she was a black belt in karate,
and
right?
I was like, oh, yeah. She, like, said, she was like, yep, I'm going to karate practice after we eat dinner here.
Yeah, he said.
Or something, right?
They were arguing, and he was like, well, I better not take this any further because you're a black belt in karate, and I don't want to get my ass kicked.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I liked that.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
Any variance is greatly appreciated.
Yes, anything other, you know, anything that women do in these other than getting told to shut up.
Yeah.
You know, like, other than being told
any
to shut up.
Any active role they can play in the plot is very interesting.
Yeah. You get some good boy points for that one. Very progressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I said everything I wanted to say. That was
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah. So, let's talk about the destruction in this movie.
Okie dokie.
It goes on a while. There's a good bit of stock footage, like we've said, but in most, it's only in action set pieces do we have stock footage. There's a good bit reused here. One's like actual, like non-Godzilla stock footage, I believe, of like a building getting destroyed, I think.
I don't know.
Of like getting like torn down, like with explosives or something.
Yeah,
but,
I didn't notice if that's the case.
I noticed one, I believe. I think he commented on it during, but the roads don't even really look like road. They look like gray plywood.
Yeah, when you can see like what they're actually walking on, it's like, oh, you know, they set some cars on it, but it's like, that shit's just gray. There's no lines. There's no streets, sidewalks. There's none of that. But aside from them using extensive footage from Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster, I started to remember why I like this movie so much.
Oh, really?
And it's because compared to a lot of these other movies, this is like really satisfying destruction when Gigan is walking around. And at several points, I noticed that the miniatures look really bad.
Mm.
And we've been watching these Gamera movies and like they can't even hold a fucking candle to the miniature work they've been doing in Gamera. But
yeah.
They had Gigan destroy a bunch of shit, and I've said it before 1 million times that I like seeing the monsters destroy the cities.
Right.
And it rarely ever happens. Godzilla's a good guy now, so that's
out the window.
Yeah.
He does it, yeah.
And the other ones, it's like Rodan and King Ghidorah, it's like they just fly over it.
Yeah.
They fly over it, and they draw some lightning on when they, you know, blow up the buildings. But I want to see, you know, walking around, kicking buildings, walking through them, smacking them with their hand, and Gigan does all that, and they do some pretty cool shots where they, like, do close-ups of his face, and the lighting's all orange from the fire and everything, and you get these angles that really wouldn't have been in any other earlier Godzilla movies. Like, you know, the filmmakers didn't think to do that until now, but they have really close-up angles of his face, like, as he's just blowing shit up, and I think that looks really cool. And it goes on for a while, but it never got boring to me. I just really like watching that for whatever reason. It could have gone on
It went
longer.
On, I was going to say, yeah, it went on long. It goes on, like, pretty long for me.
Oh,
like,
really?
Not, like, the worst. Like, there's certainly far worse, but I was sitting there, like, towards the end of it of, like, okay, come on, please, come on.
There was a part when he started, like, smacking airplanes, and that, for me, was like,
yeah, that's
come
on.
Yeah. Especially they kept using, like, the same couple shots over and over again.
Yes, yeah.
Like, back to back.
That's really where I started getting irritated is, like, come on. But, like, when he's kicking in buildings, that does wear on me just a little bit. But, yeah, it's, like, pretty good. Like, I feel like it's been a minute since we had, like, a really good
focus on the
destruction.
I can't even remember the last time that happened.
Yeah. I mean, like, Ghidorah had some of it, but, like, it was really more about getting goop everywhere.
They did some shit in Destroy All Monsters, but I felt like they were really pussyfooting around showing it. Like, they had Manda crawling around, and then they had, like, Mothra, like, on the ground.
Yeah.
And then they showed Godzilla walking, but he never, like, walked through buildings. I remember commenting on that. Like, he just walked on the roads, and, like, some explosions went off, like, from off screen to make it look like he was stomping on stuff. But they didn't hold back in this one.
Yeah, they spend a good bit of time destroying stuff, for better or worse.
I think all of Ghidorah's destruction, though, is stock footage of him.
Yeah, no, totally. Gigan's a pretty cool design.
Yeah, Gigan, I
don't know if we've already said this, but...
That was one of the... I don't think we've talked about it yet, but Gigan is possibly my favorite Godzilla monster, and definitely one of my favorite Godzilla designs. I talked about how Ghidorah was a really out-of-the-box monster idea, and Gigan is, like, slightly more traditional, but
it's still pretty, like, out there.
It's one of the things that makes a good Godzilla monster. Mm-hmm. With the exception of, like, Mothra, my favorite Godzilla monsters are the ones that are hardly comparable to real things.
Yeah.
King Ghidorah, like, a dragon?
Like, kinda, but not
but he's
really.
Got wings,
especially
no arms,
as is.
Two tails, three heads.
Yeah, he's very blocky.
I like that he's just, like, a mishmash of ideas.
Yeah.
Godzilla's that way, too. He's, like, three different dinosaurs put together.
Mm-hmm.
And Gigan... People try to compare him to stuff all the time, like chickens and stuff, and he looks so foreign, and that's, like, exactly what...
They call him a space monster, and that's the best way to describe him.
Right,
just space
something
monster.
Not of this world.
Yeah, he's green, he's got hooks for hands and feet.
He's got a buzzsaw,
got a buzzsaw on his chest.
He flows, design-wise.
Yeah,
like,
it's just
head
like, yep,
to toe.
Buzzsaw in his chest, yep.
Got a nice visual, and he's got, like, the pincers on his mouth, and he's got that thin red... line for his eyes that glows, and you know, the saw's on his back, and I love that he flies even though he doesn't have wings. I think he's the first monster to do that.
Yeah, he just flies somehow.
Godzilla did it, I guess, but he can just, like, fly like King Ghidorah, but he doesn't have wings,
not a particular, like,
and I really
source,
like,
of propulsion.
They do this thing, and I guess it kind of looks goofy, but I like it, where they, like, he spreads his arms out, and then he, like, leaps up. He gets yanked by some wires, and then they, like, cut to him, like, flying really fast. And I just like the way that looks. That looks very different, and it's probably, like, all just because of filmmaking limitations back then. Mm. But I like the way that it's communicated that he's flying. But he's infinitely cooler than, like, anything you'll see in the Gamera series.
Yeah.
He's just, like... It's a master class of how to make a giant monster.
Yeah, totally.
He's
great.
Really cool design.
In this movie, whenever King Ghidorah and Gigan start flying in, when they come from space, they're like toys on strings.
Yeah, they're very small models.
Yeah, they're like they look like action figure size. Like, they look like, they always made me think, like, remember I used to always see, like, stuff I liked, like Batman or, you know, whatever, in, like, Hallmark? I'd be like, oh, cool, a Superman toy.
Uh-huh.
I go over to it, and I was like, oh, it's a fucking Christmas ornament.
Right.
You know, and that's what this looks like to me, at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Very stiff.
Yes, extremely.
Molded in place. Yeah, the fights, it's weird for me, because the fights really aren't great. Like we said before, Godzilla gets his ass beat so much that it's...
It's funny.
It's funny, but it gets old for me.
Yeah.
He's on his side more than he stands up in this movie.
Yeah, he's just kind of like, ugh.
He gets laid out a couple times.
Yeah.
Gigan, like, just comes, like, he's already, like, knocked out, basically, and then at one point, Gigan comes up and, like, starts cracking his head open with one of his hands.
And bleeding.
When you think, like, Anguirus is going to come up and stop him, he doesn't.
No.
Gigan just finishes doing what he was doing to Godzilla's head and then drops it and then walks away.
Let's mention how fucking useless Anguirus is in this. Like,
yeah.
He sucks.
I mentioned it while we were watching it, but Anguirus is, like, he's trying his hardest, but he just cannot compete with this caliber of monster. Like, flying, laser shooting, very specialized monsters, and all he can do is walk on the ground and yell.
Yeah. A few times he does this move where Godzilla will hold, was it King Ghidorah he holds?
Yeah, he holds his head back, and that looks really weird.
Yeah, he's, like, got him bent back, and it looks like there's nothing in that head.
Yeah.
But then Anguirus, like, goes up in front of him, and he jumps back.
Yeah, he uses his spikes.
Yeah.
But, like, even that, like, that's his most effective attack, and it's only effective if
someone
Godzilla
else
is
helping him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to say he sucks even though I'm going to say he's outmatched heavily in this. It's not his fight. Maybe if he fought like Baragon or something.
Listen, I think he's not good. He's not very good to start with. And he's probably, and here it looks to me like an off day.
Yeah.
He's just off. Okay. I don't know what it is. Maybe
I think he was on his game a little more than Godzilla.
I guess so. He's
that
not
was
getting
like Godzilla's worst day.
At least Godzilla's trying for a lot of, even though he's getting like knocked down again and again, at least he's like in the fight. Anguirus just kind of stands around and gets his ass beat. There's blood in this movie. Godzilla bleeds. And
real
this,
red blood.
Extremely red blood, like giallo blood. Like it's fucking, it's so red. I remember when I first watched this, and I remember not being like shocked. There was nothing in my head that said like Godzilla doesn't bleed necessarily.
Right.
But I'd seen very few movies with lots of blood in them. I'd seen Jaws, and I remember feeling sick when the captain gets bitten and blood comes out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Or being like, oh. So that's about where I was in terms of blood. And who bleeds first? I think it's Godzilla. Gigan like flies past him with his buzzsaw going and like cuts his shoulder and blood just sprays out of his arm. And then I remember just like as a kid being like, oh my God.
Well, I think one defining characteristic of Godzilla is that he's so invincible. He's indestructible.
Mm-hmm. Right. He can get like beaten up, but not like.
We never see his skin pierced. We know that his skin is like so hard and dense that it can like, you know, it can take like artillery and gunfire, explosions.
And it'll do nothing to him.
Right. So yeah, when you see Gigan has something, you know, an ability that's strong enough to make him spew blood, let alone break, you know, break the skin, but, you know, spout blood, it's like,
it's jarring. And this isn't like the movie. This isn't like a dark,
serious
movie.
Even know if
honestly,
that's what they
Hedorah
were
would have been the one to do that in.
I don't know if they were trying to make audiences like kind of flinch with that one. I kind of get the feeling that they weren't trying to get that reaction, but that's totally what happens because you rarely ever see Godzilla
it's just
bleed.
Like, whoa, what?
And when you sometimes when you do, that's like a climactic point in the movie where it's like, oh my God, we finally got him to bleed.
Yeah, yeah.
And even that comes much later. That's like in the Millennium movies.
Yeah, no, it's and then there's it only gets worse. Like you said, you mentioned earlier, Gigan starts cracking him on the head with his hook hand, and like he gets him like in between the eyes a few times, and he just starts bleeding.
Yeah,
and
it's pathetic.
Yeah, it's like oh my God, like Godzilla, get up! Like, and it's also like Gigan's just brutalizing him at this point. Like either kill him or leave him alone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't torture him. But the very worst of it all, I remember as a kid, especially, is Anguirus. Gigan starts up his buzzsaw on his tummy, and Anguirus is about to charge him. And we were making jokes about it during the show. Because
we knew what was
because we knew it was about
that
to happen.
Scene so
yeah,
many
we were
times.
Like, no way. Okay, Anguirus, as long as you don't go directly into his buzzsaw, I think you'll be all right.
I was saying, like, I'm worried that he's not thinking this through, and you're like, no, he has this. He's not going to go
he
straight
wouldn't do
into
that.
The buzzsaw.
Yeah, I was saying he wouldn't do that. He's got this. That's all he doesn't have to do. That's
they
the one thing.
They build up to that moment for a long time in the movie, like way longer than I remember.
But it's not like he's trying to go at it from different angles. He's just like,
yeah, he's just standing there, like, waiting to do it.
And then he goes for it, he runs really fast, and then he runs directly into the buzzsaw and, like, slices his face, and just blood sprays out.
Does that blood hit the camera?
Yes, blood hits the camera, and I remember just as a kid being like, whoa, oh my God.
I think when I was a kid, I thought that killed Anguirus for a minute.
I wouldn't blame you. He should be dead.
Yeah, that he just got his noggin cut in half.
Yeah. It's awful. And then, like, the blood never stays on him either.
No.
It's always just, like, kind of red around there where they got. It's weird. I don't know. It's so bizarre. I don't know what they were trying to do because these movies have been getting, like, kiddier and kiddier.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, like, this isn't, like, a mature one. Like, this isn't, like, okay, we're doing a dark one or, you know, a semi-serious one. This is, like, campy, sci-fi-y.
Pretty neutral tone for the series thus far.
Yeah. And it's really just so weird. I don't know what to make of it. It's really jarring if you've never...
Do you think that earlier I said I like to imagine that Jun Fukuda hated Godzilla? Do you think he wanted to see Godzilla bleed? Like, yeah, that was something he wanted for a while.
I want
to
see him bleed.
Yeah, he was fantasizing about... He made a fan edit himself of Godzilla dying.
he's standing there smoking. They're shooting up...
Heroin?
No. They're shooting
up
the guy... In Godzilla, and he's smoking, and he's behind a camera, and he's smoking, and he's staring at it, and he's like, I'll make you bleed, fucker.
Yeah, he's getting mad at Nakajima.
Yeah, Nakajima's just like, oh my god, I'm so fucking hot.
He's
yeah, he's like, I'm having another heat stroke.
Yeah, that maybe he's like, got a shit or something, and he's like, and they're just like, you know, he's smoking, and he goes, okay, we're going to put him on wires and smash him into the Godzilla tower. Yeah. And the guy's like,
yeah, he's already on the wire. He's like, all right, exploding. So I want you to swing. Yeah, he's like, I'm going to shoot myself.
I got a fucking shit.
Yeah, I think that's probably what he was like. But yeah, he's definitely, yeah, he's just like, I'm going to just take a shit.
Yeah.
He looks at him. He's like, yeah, so we're going to swing him down. And there he's like, should we let him out? And he goes, I'll tell you when you can let him out. So Godzilla bleeds in this movie.
Godzilla bleeds. The fight goes on for a really long time. And it would have been worse if these Toho Godzilla movies sometimes commit the sin of making the fight take place in like the same area for the whole time.
Yeah.
And this one, there's some variants. Like they kind of start in the city and then they go to like a hillside and then they end up in World Children's Land.
Yeah.
So there's enough variants to keep it from being too bad, but it does go on longer than it should.
Yeah. And a lot of that's honestly due to Godzilla rolling around. Like it would have been so much older. That might even be something you could just fix with editing.
Right.
Like, and just shots of Godzilla rolling around.
You
like,
could make him look like less of a pussy by doing that too. Definitely. Because it's not even much of a fight. It's just Godzilla getting his ass handed to him for a while and then he wins.
I remember there's this part where, and he's constantly getting like kicked in the head by Gigan. Like it really is pathetic is the word. But also there's like a part, I don't remember quite exactly how it happens, but like Anguirus ends up like in front of Gigan and he like tries to do something to Gigan. Gigan like looks down at him and just starts like wailing on him with his hand. It's really funny. Like, yeah, it's not a great fight. There's some memorable moments partly due to the blood and also just sort of how much Godzilla like is pretty much losing the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
How does he get the upper hand? I don't remember. Like,
so they play the tape or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, they don't play the tape. They fucking blow up the aliens' headquarters.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So, okay, so yeah, they're mind controlling Gigan and King Ghidorah to do their bidding, but they would probably be doing bad shit even if they weren't doing that, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, so in this Godzilla tower at the top of it, the aliens are, you know, carrying out their plan. And so they're like, all right, I think they get the military involved. Mm-hmm. And they're like, all right, they get them to bring some TNT. And they're like, all right, we're going to take these guys out. And they fill the elevator. Did they like take down guards?
I don't think so. I think the elevator's just at the bottom empty.
Okay. Yeah. So it's just open. They fill up the elevator with TNT. And then the main guy, the artist guy, is like, okay, hold up. And he draws.
Well, he's already got it ready.
Oh, he's already got it ready?
They're loading it up, and he has, like, this big-ass roll of paper under his arm.
He doesn't talk about doing it. Like, he's not, like, they never, like, say, like, okay, we've got a bunch of TNT. How do we get them to shoot it? If that's really what you're going for. It's like, okay, well, I'll draw a bunch of us, and they'll see that and shoot at us. No, he just has it, and they put it in front of the TNT, and the elevator starts coming up, and two of the alien goons are like, sir, the elevator is coming up, and he's like, we'll go kill whoever's coming up.
Yeah, just shoot to kill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes, yeah, shoot to kill, and they're like, all right, ready to shoot at whatever is in this elevator. Elevator opens, very clearly a drawing of these people.
It's not even colored in.
No, it's black and white.
It's black and white, and they're like drawn in this anime style that he's been drawing everything in.
Uh-huh, yeah, and they just shoot anyways, and they blow up. It immediately blows up the whole thing, like a whole like a wall full of like machinery just falls onto the cockroach people, and it leads to a very memorable moment where they're all kind of dying, and they're all and there's like one of them
well, that happens after the fight ends.
Oh, really? It does?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. So this whole thing blows up real good. Fight ends. Well, Godzilla gains the upper hand.
Gigan and King Ghidorah, like, kind of stop for a minute.
Yeah.
Like, because they were being controlled by a tape. Don't know if we covered that, but that's basically they're controlled.
They get
by
controlled
tape.
Much better on vinyl, honestly.
So they stop because the tape is not playing, and they only stop for a minute, and then they basically just start acting like regular again.
Yeah, they just like they're nothing
still up
happened.
To yeah, they're still up to no
that's
good.
Right. Like I was saying, they just do bad shit like no matter what.
Yeah, so they get their asses kicked, and then they fly back to
They don't even
Nebula
really get,
M.
Yeah, they go back to Nebula M, where King Ghidorah belongs now. Yeah, King Ghidorah is like a kid with like awful parents who are like constantly.
He's in the foster care system.
Yeah, it's like rough. It's not good.
He's being tossed back and forth between alien parents.
Yeah, it's a bunch of rich white families.
All looking for exotic kids.
Yeah, exotic kids.
So after the fight ends, you get this scene where all these aliens are crushed under the machinery.
Yeah, they're like, one of them's already turned back into a cockroach.
Yeah, I don't know if we've mentioned at any point, but
okay, yeah.
The fans will already know
that
this particular race of aliens are basically big cockroaches in disguise.
Yeah, because they've evolved, because their planet was just like Earth, or a lot like Earth, and it followed a similar path. There was nuclear war to some degree, a cataclysmic event.
Pollution,
something, and it killed off people, or whatever dominant race there was, and the only one that remained was cockroaches, and they evolved into big cockroaches that were smart.
Right.
So yeah, that happened.
And they also have the capability of taking the form of other species.
I believe that's an ability they just have.
Yeah, they never
I don't
use,
think they have a device,
they
right?
never use any technology to
yeah,
do that.
Okay, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's, I thought that was right. And they also take the form of dead people. I don't know if they're like in the body. I don't think they're actually in the body of these.
No,
like,
they're just recreations of people who have died.
Yeah.
Or they're just assuming the form of people who died.
Yeah. I think they take their names, too.
Yeah, yeah, they did take
which
their
names.
Which is
like, fucking... what the heck? Like, that's...
bad planning.
Yeah, like, isn't, like, the first thing somebody gonna do be like, who is that? I'm gonna go find out. What? They're dead?
Yeah, immediately that's what happens. It doesn't take a fucking detective. It's just a comic book drawer.
And some girl and some guy with a headband.
They find out in about 15 minutes. They're
easy.
Like, okay, this guy, I'm gonna talk to his parents. Okay, he died a year ago, alien.
Yeah.
Boom.
So yeah, and they also, we get this visualized to us whenever, like they turn the lights off while they've got them prisoner at the top of the Godzilla Tower. They like turn the lights off and there's like some lights casted onto these guys.
Emergency lighting.
And their shadows.
Are cockroach shadows.
Cockroach shadows, so they're actually cockroaches. And I mean, I don't understand exactly the logic of it, but when I was a child, a dumbass little kid, I was like, okay, yeah.
A little more creative than...
Having people...
I think we've like, just had just aliens.
That are people in funny clothes.
In Destroy All Monsters, they were those like slugs that needed to be really cold.
Yeah.
That's arguably more creative than cockroaches.
Yeah, I have the feeling that they maybe Toho Studios had a cockroach problem. They
had a deal with the cockroach people.
Yeah, they did a deal with the they had a tax deal with the cockroach people.
Yeah,
like yeah, there's a whole nother Toho movie where they're like they made a big cockroach deal and they're like trying to get the most out of that.
Yeah,
they can.
They had some leftover roaches.
Yeah, the cockroach union. Requires Toho to all that union shit.
All that union bullshit.
Bullshit. The aliens are laying in the rubble. One of them has already reverted back to cockroach form. We don't get a good idea of like how big these cockroaches are up until now, but they're very obviously just like little cockroaches put under rubble.
Yeah.
And they're like they're you know, freaking out because they're bugs. They're like moving around real fast and their antennae are going. And you get the guy's voice that was this cockroach. And he's like, oh.
Yeah.
It's really funny. It's just like a cockroach. Like,
yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm dying.
Yeah.
You know? And then, like, the other guy, like, the chairman is like, he's under it. And he's, like, bleeding. And he's like, gah! And there's, like, some horribly keyed fire put around him.
Yeah,
and
it's not
like, turning green.
One of them's blue and one of them's like just red.
Yeah, okay.
And they're not tracked. They're just, like, set at the top of the frame, so when the camera moves a little bit, they don't stay in place.
It's like a frame.
They move with the camera.
Yeah, it's...
I really just didn't understand what they were trying to do with that.
I mean, I guess what they're going for is, you know, the place is on fire. It's coming down. But it's like, I already got that. Yeah. I understand. I know. I saw it. But, yeah, and then the guy's like... And he says, why? he caused all this.
Right.
He, like, caused all of it, got the monsters to come down here and, like, antagonized a bunch of people into attacking him. And he's like, why? And then he turns into a cockroach.
So one thing I'm just kind of realizing is that their overall plan was to get rid of the humans and Godzilla with their monsters because the planet they come from is no longer suitable for them. So the grand plan was to basically clear out some room and then bring their relatives down to Earth to live there. And they say that a couple times, and there's one point where they're like, oh, things will be different when the rest of our people get here, whatever. So they're acting like they're already on their way? So I'm like, okay, so these aliens are going to show up, but these don't seem to be any kind of, they don't seem to pose any other kind of threat. Aside from having these monsters, so, like, all these aliens are going to show up and just be like, oh, we got to leave?
Yeah.
It didn't work? We got to leave? Okay.
Either that or we shoot them out of the sky, commit a xenocide. Yeah, this movie's great. And then it ends with yet another goodbye, Godzilla!
Yeah, we're getting a good amount of these now.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Godzilla!
Godzilla turns around
and... And they sing a cool song at the end
of this one. I don't know the lyrics. I'm not a racist. Yeah, I love that. I remember that very well. I loved it, especially in Hedorah. I always really liked it whenever kids talk to Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you looking back on it, it's like, it makes so much sense that Gamera was, like, a massive hit with kids. Like, just like, wow, that kid's talking to the monster. I'm a kid.
Right.
Dumb. I guess I always thought of Godzilla, like, Godzilla was always, like, dangerous, I knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, oh, shit, you know, like, he can destroy whole cities. Oh, my God, he's mean. He, like, kills people sometimes. In the Millennium one, sometimes he's really mean. So, like, when I saw him, like, being nice, especially to, like, a kid, saying, like, bye, I'd be like, cool, that's cool that Godzilla's, like, being cool. Towards that kid. Like, that's pretty cool. I think that's what I really liked about it. But yeah, we get a goodbye Godzilla, and I think they walk into a sunrise.
Something like that. They go back out. Anguirus and Godzilla are on their way back to Monster Island. I always like that. I don't know if we talked about that yet, but I loved the fact that Godzilla had a friend.
Yeah, me too.
And Anguirus kind of makes the perfect friend because Godzilla's badass enough to, like, beat any other monster.
Yes.
That, you know, crosses his path. So he really doesn't need an exceptionally talented friend. But yeah. Anguirus is, like, the lowest of the low, you know, in Grand Theft Auto, when you're choosing a guy to go on a heist with, he's, like, the guy with the lowest stats.
Yeah.
But I loved that he had Anguirus. I got that they were friends. I loved that they talked. And it kind of always upset me in the video games when I had to fight Anguirus.
I got really upset when I was watching I was watching Final Wars for the first time, and, like, Anguirus got, like, fucking killed or something by Godzilla.
He doesn't get killed. He,
doesn't he get, like, knocked off into the distance?
They have a big fight where all of the monsters that used to be Godzilla's allies at some point try to fight him at once.
Yeah.
And they all, like, Godzilla ends up, like, throwing them in a pile.
Yeah.
But they're all left alive. They're all just kind of like, ugh.
Okay. I remember, I remember giving, like, a good... I didn't actually cry, but that's sort of how I felt. I was like, don't fight Anguirus. He's supposed to be your friend, you know?
Yeah, Dong Fry.
I've been kicked in the head by a horse a few times.
Dong Fry. All right.
I'll go first. I think you went first last time.
If you say so.
Okay.
Go ahead and get into Dong Fries.
All right. I love this movie. It's a love that transcends... common decency, transcends the human form,
personal space,
personal time, transcends anything you can throw at me, footballs, basketballs. But no matter how much my brain tells me this movie is bad, this movie is committing a bunch of cinema sins.
Yeah, cinema sins, if you will.
It's doing a bunch of stuff that I don't like when other movies do, and still somehow I'm just like, I like this movie. I think, like I said, it had that really exceptional part where Gigan was destroying the city. I don't know. I guess it's just like 100% nostalgia. So I'll dock a point for that because there's not a whole lot good I can say about this movie. But one thing that's undeniable is that this movie makes me feel good. You know, like Bustin' makes some people feel good.
Right.
Godzilla vs. Gigan makes me feel good. And I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Yeah. I've got like a little bit of nostalgia for this movie, but I never really loved it like you did when I was younger. It okay. is one of those ones I saw when, you know, I was younger and I have like a connection with it. And it honestly probably formed my perception of this whole, all this bullshit.
Got you where you are today.
Got me where I am today. Yeah, there's not like a whole lot of good I can say about this movie. It's really not that great of a movie. There's some like notable things in it. And it's really sort of representative of this franchise, like after Ghidorah, like really starting to take on a new form.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is really like, Ghidorah was like a turning point in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And this is definitely post-turn. So it's kind of interesting to see this sort of solidify and sort of become a little clearer as a vision of this whole thing. And there's some funny stuff in this. You could probably have a good old time making fun of this. All in all, I don't know if I really enjoyed this that much. I'm going to give it like a 5. That's what I'm finding right now. You know, it's not like, there's nothing like really horrible about it. I mean, like I said, some of the destruction and the fight go on pretty long and like the stock footage goes on wild, but that adds entertainment value and making fun of it for me, at least.
Okay.
What are we watching next time?
Next time, I'm excited. We're jumping a little ahead in time. And we're jumping slightly to the left, franchise-wise, with the rebirth of Mothra.
Oh.
Ow!
Ow! All right, before we go, I'm just going to set off a little firecracker.